They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
People on Wall Street are really supposed to communicate through official channels. I'm David Brancaccio. Federal regulators are cracking down, again, on financial services people communicating about deals and trades using side channels. 11 investment advisors and brokerage firms are being hit with fines. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has the story.
The Securities and Exchange Commission and Commodity Futures Trading Commission together fined the 11 broker-dealers and investment advisors $549 million. The SEC and CFTC say employees of these financial firms used off-channel messaging services like Signal, WhatsApp, and texting to do business. That violates federal securities laws. They require these companies to keep records of their electronic communications in case they're needed later for investigations of potential wrongdoing. Wells Fargo, BNP Paribas, and Societe Generale were among the firms paying the biggest fines. The SEC and CFTC had already fined banks almost $2 billion for breaking the rules on off-channel communications. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
We're also covering reports the Biden administration will stop U.S. private equity and venture capital firms from investing in sensitive technology projects in China. Published reports suggest the three banned sectors will be semiconductors, quantum computing, and artificial intelligence. Marketplace Morning Report podcast has the coverage if you miss it on the air today. The big reading on U.S. inflation covering July is due tomorrow.
Investors are really focused on that consumer price index, any data that is going to give them an indication of inflation. And that's what the Fed is going to be looking at as well. The Fed's next meeting isn't until September. So investors are really trying to gauge what they will do and, of course, always anticipate what Chairman Powell is going to announce.
Susan Schmidt is head of public equity at the State of Wisconsin Investment Board. There's news of the opposite of inflation in China. The consumer price index there went down by 0.3% last month. That's called deflation, and it can compound economic problems by encouraging consumers to wait to buy things on the assumption the cost might get cheaper still. Yesterday, it was China trade figures falling. More widely, younger people in China are having increasing trouble finding decent work. The BBC's Katie Silver has more now on reports that some young people in search of affordable accommodation are looking to share mattresses.
It's really quite something. It was originally reported by a South China Morning Post. It's been spotted on Chinese social media. And there's even a hashtag that people are using to search for possible bedmates, as the term is called. The idea is that they would share room and bed to cut costs, particularly for young workers and recent graduates. A survey in China recently found that most young people want to pay rent only up to about 30% of their salary. And given that the recent graduate earns about $1,400 US a month, it's far less than they would need to be able to achieve that 30% figure or to have any hope of having any savings. As part of this, many have rules, for example, no snoring and no inviting romantic guests. But it does seem indeed to be something as a way of countering the huge issue that China has when it comes to youth unemployment.
Katie Silver, BBC. Traditional revenue sources for public media, and really the media at large, are declining this year, and we at Marketplace are not immune to these trends. We're currently tracking behind target for this budget year. We are tightening up expenses, but the need for trusted, grounded, fact-based reporting is as pressing as ever. We can't cut back on our mission, so we are turning to listeners like you. Please step up now and invest in Marketplace. If you haven't yet given, now is the time. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Ryssdal. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
According to the UN, about a million species of plants and animals could become extinct in the coming decades. It's mostly because of human activity, altering landscapes, hunting, and changing the climate. Reversing those trends will not be easy or cheap. The World Economic Forum has estimates ranging between $700 billion and nearly $1 trillion to pay for things like more sustainable agriculture or managing invasive species. Matt Hoisch reports now on growing interest in one tool to generate some of that funding, biodiversity credits.
They're kind of like carbon credits. Maybe you've heard of those. Organizations get them for removing greenhouse gases from the atmosphere or keeping them out. Then they sell them to others who get the credit for lowering emissions. Ideally, they spur climate action.
And I had an idea that a similar principle could be applied on financing of nature conservation and nature restoration. So why are we not doing it?
That's Alexandra Holmland. She's a PhD student at the Swedish University of Agricultural Sciences, testing a way for foresters to make money with biodiversity credits.
This might actually be an opportunity to provide new income streams.
Her team has partnered with the Swedish Forest to test their idea. Basically, landowners get credits for trying techniques on their land that are expected to help biodiversity.
All these nitty-gritty little details that would mimic old growth qualities of an older forest.
Swedbank, a Stockholm-based bank, purchased the credits for the pilot. Ulf Muller leads the bank's forests and agriculture work. He sees growing interest in biodiversity finance.
All this change is going to cost money. And when do you need the bank? When do you need money?
Others are also taking a look. Maxim Vergejcik is an economist with the UN. He helps organize a group of developers like Holmland who are also experimenting with credit methods. Something they're hoping to nail down is what exactly biodiversity credits measure. One carbon credit equals one ton of CO2. But for biodiversity,
nothing like that exists in nature because there's no single metric. It's actually very sort of context specific.
Vergejcik thinks trials like Holmland's will help determine the best approaches for different situations. Getting that right is important. Recent scrutiny of carbon markets has turned off some investors who fear those credits are giving corporations recognition for environmental benefits that aren't happening, something known as greenwashing. Vergejcik's group aims to avoid that.
Our job is just probably to observe and make sure that as they happen, purchases are done in an integral way from the point of view of greenwashing, so to speak, and that the basic science is there.
Vergejcik doesn't see a biodiversity credit boom around the corner, but in a few years, things could grow pretty fast. In Cambridge, England, I'm Matt Hoisch for Marketplace.
And you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.